Get Out director Jordan Peele is back with a new film called Us, starring Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke. It's about a family on holiday in a beachside Californian town who are assaulted by their evil doppelgangers in a nocturnal home invasion. The intruders wear red jumpsuits. They carry sharp scissors and call themselves the Tethered. They look exactly the same as this middle-class family, only there's something slightly wrong, damaged and scarred about them. Who are they? What do they represent? Coming up, guest critic Miriam Bale will help me dissect this fascinating comedy horror movie, which has already done great business in the US. Here's a taste.
You know how sometimes things line up? Coincidences? Since we've been up here, they've been happening more and more. It's like there's this black cloud hanging over us.
There's a family in our driveway.
Who is that?
All right, now it's my great pleasure to welcome on Skype from the US, guest critic Miriam Bale, who is artistic director of the Indie Memphis Film Festival and also a film critic for W Magazine. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Jason.
Now, let's begin with the title of this film. Now, I've been calling it Us, but it's also clearly meant to have a double meaning. The Us is also the acronym for United States. Who do you think the Tethered are and what do they represent?
Well, do you really want to know? Because I have a very explicit theory about the film, a theory that makes sense, spoiler alert, once you've seen the film and seen the twist ending. I saw the film at the premiere, South by Southwest, and then I saw the film again last night and had a completely different reaction. When I saw it at first, I thought it was had multiple meanings, that it was about obviously our shadow sides of ourselves. I thought it was about class. And I still think it's about class, but I think it's very explicitly about income equality. I think it's about haves and have-nots.
Do you also think there's something about a collective guilt? I feel that in some ways it's a film about dispossession and the dispossession of sort of indigenous lands in some ways. I think that's very deeply buried in partly what this film is saying somehow. I mean, there's that moment very early on where this couple, played by Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke, Adelaide and Gabe, they're with their kids at the beach and they're with this other family at the beach as well who are sort of mates. They're played by Elizabeth Moss and Tim Heidecker, the two adults, and Elizabeth Moss sort of stops on that image in a magazine of a white model with a First Nations headdress on and sort of doesn't notice that she sort of appreciates it and says, isn't this great? And I thought that was a little sign that Jordan Peele was interested in notions of, I don't know, a lifestyle that's been inherited thanks to the dispossession of others.
Definitely. There are so many themes, actually. I mean, the Native American indigenous land stuff that you mentioned has an earlier scene too. The scene that young Lupita goes into, young Adelaide, the girl who sets the tone for the film in a 1986 flashback, she goes into a sort of hall of mirrors that's called, it's a sort of Native American theme. It's called,
that's,
I think,
right,
the Shaman's Vision Quest.
Yes, yes.
But then in the present day, it's no longer called that because it's no longer politically correct. So now it's called Merlin something. But yet, the exactly what you're saying, the sort of utilizing those symbols comes out in other ways. It comes across in Elizabeth Moss's character, not only in looking at the fashion magazine, but in the Native print. Both she and her husband wear lots of Native print. So yeah, I think that that's definitely a theme. But I think that what you're saying is not the only theme. Do you know what I really think it's about? Is I think it's about have and have nots. And I think that the key scene in the film is when the young Adelaide is dancing, a teenage Adelaide, and she's dancing in front of a stage with lights that are flashing into the lens into the audience, and then her double is also dancing, down in the underground world, yeah, and not really to the same kind of audience. But both of those characters, as it's said about Adelaide early on, has a story to tell. And I think it's about the dispossessed telling their stories and taking the resources to be able to do that, literally taking them.
I want to play a clip now from the film, which has Adelaide as an adult, played by Lupita Nyong'o, talking about the scene you just referenced. And it begins the film, that scene. It's a prologue. It is about seeing Adelaide as a girl who wanders off from her family at this, we're in the same town as, you know, the town of the rest of the film, but she's at an amusement park. She wanders off from the family, walks into this hall of mirrors, and this is where it's a wonderful piece of directing from Jordan Peele. It's very suspenseful, but this is where she first encounters this doppelganger. Now, in the scene I'll play you, this is Adelaide as an adult thinking that a series of uncanny coincidences during the day are suggesting to her that perhaps this doppelganger is coming back.
You know how sometimes things line up?
Yeah.
You know, like coincidences. Since we've been here, they've been happening more and more. I feel like it means like she's getting closer.
Who? The mirror girl?
You don't believe me.
I do. I do. I'm processing. Okay? I just can't believe you kept all this inside for so long. You know I'm here, right?
That was a clip from Jordan Peele's new film, Us. Jordan Peele, of course, having shot to prominence, if not for his satirical TV work, for his wonderful debut feature, Get Out, one of my favourite films of a couple of years back. And I'm talking to guest critic Miriam Bale about this very, very interesting and layered new comedy horror, I suppose you could say. Now, in that clip, Miriam... Yeah, I think you can already hear how on point both performers are playing this married couple, and how also there are these sorts of different layers. There's a layer of sort of dread and tension, and there's this layer of sort of comedy as well somehow that's still creeping through. Tell me first of all about this too, and this, I guess, portrait of family life sort of... ripped apart by the very bloody events of this film. How do you read it as a portrait of sort of middle-class family?
Well, I felt some of the elements. This was the first time I watched it. I found that the comedy and the horror were conflicting a bit. They didn't seem to gel to me. I felt like some of the cuts to horror felt more comedic, and some of the goofy comic relief, goofy middle-class family, especially Winston Duke's character, felt it just felt at odds and like it dominated over the horror. And yet by the end of the film, not only do those comedic scenes have a new dread and creepiness, if you watch it again, if you get to the end and you watch it again with the new understanding, there's a new creepiness to the domestic family. And so much of horror is actually about that, about the creepiness of domestic suburbia and sort of one can't exist, the horror can't exist without the idyllic. So I feel like this film does that very well, but that it takes a second view to sort of understand the depth of that in this strange way that he structured the understanding of the film. But also what we're talking about is shadow selves and these opposites. And yep. So even before I had that distinct understanding of how creepy those comic scenes are, I realized that's the theme of the film. These opposites, even though it felt messy, that's what the film is about. These disparate elements sort of being one.
I want to ask you also about the blackness of this central family, because in a sense, for people in this country who loved Get Out, they may have seen the trailer to Us and may be thinking that this is also going to be a film where the issue of race or racism is front and center. And certainly, and you'll be able to explain this better than I can, there's a lot of racial sort of subtext in this film. And yet I think in some ways, Jordan Peele to me seems to be centering a black family and just sort of putting them there almost without comment. I mean, they're not there because of their blackness. They're there because of their middle classness, it seems to me. And that seems to me to also be quite innovative in that he's not putting a black family into the center of this film to then talk about race necessarily at the forefront. He's talking about them as stand-ins for a kind of middle America. Is that how you read it?
Yes and no. I think that he's gone out of his way to say that it's not about race, but I think that he's coming from a perspective where race definitely lends itself to some of the themes. I think the difference between this film and Get Out is that Get Out really, in a lot of ways, was about whiteness. It didn't center whiteness. It centered a black POV, but it was about looking at whiteness. And I don't think that this film is. It has some wonderful comedic roles from Tim Heidecker and Elizabeth Moss, but they're playing, I don't think they're there to represent whiteness itself, but they are representing an upper class that's a little bit elusive to the middle class Wilsons. And I think, again, when I talk about income inequality, I think it hits with a little bit more resonance, this idea of have and have nots, to a black middle class, because they're one step closer to that. Often with the lack of inherited wealth. Here we have a family that has a certain amount of inherited wealth from their, I mean, it's in the text, the vacation home they're into, it's implied that it used to be Adelaide's parents. And so they're getting to a more comfortable state. But the doubles, I think you can't help but think of their uniforms are a bit like prison uniforms.
Yeah, these red jumpsuits that they're wearing, that's true. Or red or ochre jumpsuits. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Adelaide character, the double, who's called Red, at one point says something, you know, she talks about all these things that she didn't have that Adelaide had in her middle class family. And she talks about how she says, I realized then that God was testing me. And that's something that poor people have said to themselves for a long time, and particularly poor black people. And I found that that had a lot of resonance, and that was very interesting. But the other thing is, I did find on the second viewing, I thought there was more about black middle class, but I really do think it's about haves and have nots and income inequality. When I saw the premiere, Winston Duke said his interpretation was that it was about privilege, and about the privilege of the Wilsons versus the double characters, and imagining all the lack and the lack of choices. Mm. And I think his interpretation was very much one of a sort of prison interpretation, not to put words in his mouth.
Yeah.
But my feeling is, though, that Jordan Peele is a black director, but he's also biracial. He's also mixed race, black and white. And I think that he's obsessed with a certain duality that you see in his comedy sketches. There's often a sort of, you know, he'll play someone who puts on a tough guy voice, and you see Winston Duke doing that. There's the black masculinity.
It's a wonderful scene, that one, where he comes out of the front of the house brandishing a baseball bat and trying to put on his menacing voice. We'll just play that clip.
Okay, let's call the cops.
I did. They're 14 minutes away.
What? 14 minutes? Okay. Jason, give me the bat.
What bat?
The baseball bat, the bat. There's one in the
corner. Here.
Thank you.
Gabe.
All right, hold on. I got this. Let's try this again.
Gabe.
No. All right.
Gabe!
I got this. Now, I thought I already done told y'all to get off my property, okay? So if y'all want to get crazy, we can get crazy. Now, the cops are already on their way.
I love that scene because it's kind of comic because we know that Gabe is not this guy, but it's also unsettling because you think, wow, these stereotypes of a kind of menacing black masculinity are just everywhere, you know, and so easily called upon. So it's a kind of, it's working on two levels, I thought that.
It's okay. That's probably one of my least favorite scenes. I find that that's a bit easy, that kind of duality. And that's Jordan Peele's interest in duality sort of on the most basic level. And you see that same kind of scene in some of his comedy, sketch comedy. There's an almost identical scene in the Keanu, a film that Jordan Peele wrote with his comedy partner, Keegan.
Yeah.
And I find that stuff a bit boring. What I find interesting is that with this film, he found such a deeper level of appreciating, of exploring duality. And I do think, as I mentioned earlier, that a lot of that probably comes from Jordan Peele being of mixed race. That was something that was an interest of him probably since he had any kind of consciousness.
Yeah.
So I think even though it's not about race, this film, it's not about race. Or sometimes when we say it's not about race, we mean it's not about white people. That's what I'll say.
All right, Miriam, I've really appreciated you coming on the show and offering your knowledge and wisdom as a guest critic here today from the US. Look, I appreciate you also going and seeing it twice. I've only seen it once, and it's been great to hear what you've made of it, and also your insights on some of those deeper cultural, racial, and class issues that are definitely running through the film.
It's been a pleasure, and that the film itself is, I'm very grateful for a film that holds up to multiple viewings. Not every film does, and I find that this film is really rewards multiple views, and I'd be curious if your opinion on it changed. And anyway, it's been a pleasure, so thanks having me.
You're most welcome. That was guest critic Miriam Bale, and if you're interested in her review of Us, you can read it online at the website of W Magazine, and you can also read my review of Us up at the ABC website, ABC Online. You're listening to The Screen Show. Let's transition now with some music from the soundtrack of Us. This is from the mid-90s. You'll have to see the film to understand the reference completely, but it's Lunitz, and I Got Five on It. Okay, and I've just retweeted my review on Twitter, obviously. So I'm there at JDRRR, and I'll tweet Miriam's review as soon as I get a link for that. You're listening to The Screen Show.